Okay, this is the V-Man for 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. I'm on the phone today with Matt Rubin of the Philadelphia Direct Action Group and the umbrella group R2K Network. How you doing today, Matt?
All right, how you doing?
Good. If you could just go ahead and start by telling us a little bit about the Philadelphia Direct Action Group and the R2K Network and how that's all come together.
Sure. The R2K Network, it's an umbrella group of organizers, coordinators, and activists, and we're planning demonstrations, education, and agitation before and during the Republican National Convention here in Philadelphia. The R2K Network includes a broad amount, a broad variety of groups, including the major organizations who are organizing the major demonstrations and direct action events right before and during the convention. This includes the Ad Hoc Committee to Defend Healthcare and Unity 2000, and these are two groups that are having marches on the 29th and 30th of July to protest for single-payer healthcare in the case of the first one, in the case of Unity, for a variety of issues ranging from racial equality to women's issues to class issues and a whole variety of issues. It also includes the Kensington Welfare Rights Union, which is having a Poor People's Economic Human Rights March on the 31st of July, which is going to be poor people standing up for themselves along with supporters to bring light the number of poor people, the 35 million poor people who live in this country, and the issues facing them, including police repression, welfare reform, and a host of other issues. And it also includes the Independent Media Center, which folks may be familiar from with its guises in Seattle and Washington, D.C., and the IMC is doing a great job of informing folks of what's going on the ground and hosting a number of events and acting as a general kind of heartbeat and nerve center for information around this. And, of course, the Philadelphia Direct Action Group, which is a coalition that's organizing direct action events during the second and third and probably fourth days of the convention, August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And the Philadelphia Direct Action Group is going to be doing direct action in protest of the convention, very similar to what folks saw in Washington in particular. Puppets and street theater, people sitting down in streets and blocking streets, protesting in various areas regardless of whether or not there's a permit, and generally doing the kind of the sort of new style demonstrations and taking it to the streets that we saw in Seattle and Washington.
Now, you talked briefly about the Kensington Welfare Rights Union and their march on the 31st. I believe they were denied a permit to march by the City of Philadelphia?
Yes, the City of Philadelphia has not granted a permit for anyone to do anything, really, during the actual convention days. And the Kensington Welfare Rights Union is very prominent in this because they officially applied for a permit through all the channels, and they were explicitly denied that permit for their march. And their march is going to go on anyway. It's going to convene on the 31st at City Hall, literally right dead smack in the heart of Philadelphia, and they're going to march from City Hall down Broad Street, the major northwest street in Philadelphia, down to the convention.
And where is the convention at? At the Staples?
The convention is at the First Union Center.
First Union Center.
Staples, you're thinking of L.A.
L.A., you're right.
They're all named after some big corporation. It's at the First Union Center, which is in South Philadelphia in what we call a sports complex.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And that's pretty much been cordoned off like a virtual fortress. But as I said, the Direct Action Group is going to be having all kinds of direct action events around the convention and probably will include stuff down there as well.
Now, I was wondering if you could go into a little bit about Spiral Q. I also am aware of they had been shut down earlier last week. And
people who followed the events in Washington probably remember when the Convergence Center was raided there by the police the night before one of the major protest days. And we had a taste of that in Philadelphia this past Friday, the 22nd, when Spiral Q, which is a community nonprofit puppet theater, which has been around for several years, was temporarily shut down by the Philadelphia Department of Licensing and Inspections for alleged fire and electrical codes. The important thing to understand is that when the person who runs Spiral Q, Matthew Hart, when he came into his office at 9 in the morning, his doors were unlocked and ajar, and he had certainly not done that. No one who works there had done that, and across the street, there were unidentified men taking photographs. Then later in the day, the Department of Licensing and Inspections came, and again, we had the unidentified men taking photographs and automobiles with covered-up license plates and a whole kind of host of police, covert police surveillance and intimidation tactics. They temporarily shut it down in the afternoon, and the mayor's office actually intervened to get it reopened, and the landlord did some quick repairs, and now they have access to that again. And the reason it was reopened is basically because they looked really bad in the press because they had shut down a theater, after all. I mean, this is,
right.
You can't get more legal and harmless in the eyes of you know, the public than a puppet theater. And also because the landlord of the building that Spiral Q is in is a major developer dumping $30 million into that particular block, and, you know, money talks. And so in this case, it worked for us. But this is one example of intimidation and harassment. And the strategy, as it was in part in Washington, is definitely to try to intimidate and harass beforehand to try to you know, diffuse the impact of the protests as much as possible beforehand.
I was also wondering what plans are being taken in preparation for possible police misconduct at this point. I'm aware of a beating which was televised nationally a few weeks ago by Philadelphia police, and I also understand that an unarmed African American was recently shot down in Philadelphia.
At the train station, yes. There's definitely been events involving the police unrelated to this convention that have shown the country you know, what police violence can look like very vividly, and has shown a light on the culture of policing in Philadelphia, which is certainly not unique in the country, but it's definitely up there with police departments to be feared and police departments that have engaged in violence in Philadelphia's case for decades, ever since the regime of the former police commissioner and Mayor Frank Rizzo, if not before that. You know, there's only so much that we can do. What we are doing is we're laying the groundwork with the public and the police and the media by emphasizing that, as in Washington, we have set up an organizing framework that is nonviolent and does not include property destruction. And as in Washington, we're asking everyone who comes down to join the protest to respect that framework. And as in Washington, we anticipate that they will. That's one thing. So we're making it clear that if anything violent happens, it's not going to be us. It's going to be the police.
Right.
And that has been fairly effective, especially because the police are a bit on the defensive because of the incidents you mentioned. It's definitely made it more difficult for them to put themselves up as kind of innocent victims of protesters and that sort of a thing. So we're doing that, and of course we're organizing to be prepared for this. The police have been saying that they are not going to use violence, that they want everything to be calm and safe, but of course we don't know what they're actually going to do.
Right.
So we're organizing to anticipate that there will be violence. So we're training people in nonviolent direct action. We're training people in how to try to avoid violence and how to minimize as much as possible their exposure to violence. But, you know, at some point, we live in a democracy, and that means you put yourself out there, and we have to just hope that they will use restraint and they won't use the pepper spray and the tear gas and the billy clubs and beatings that they've used in Seattle and Washington. We really don't have control over all of it.
I know in L.A., a confidential police report surfaced with a whole host of weapons and equipment that they have requested, including 40,000 pepper ball rounds. Has anything like that been surfaced in Philadelphia?
We know that the Philadelphia police have spent, as far as we know, over $1 million on equipment. Most of that, as far as we know, is like riot gear or some tear gas equipment. Certainly ominous equipment, but nothing quite as distinctive as the pepper balls or, from what I've heard, the kind of the rubber bullets that the mayor in L.A. has threatened to use. We haven't heard anything about those types of things in particular, but we have heard and seen reports of massive police budget increases for riot gear and things associated with that. So, and, you know, there's ominous stories in the news as well. For example, there was just a big drill with the local hospital and fire and police and safety personnel simulating a sarin nerve gas attack. And, you know, this
wow.
is being done, you know, to project an image of readiness, but it's also, of course, being done to say either implicitly or explicitly that they're expecting, you know, terrorism and violence. And, of course, that's not the case, but by doing that sort of thing, and by spinning as they have, saying, well, we're rolling out the red carpet for the delegates and for the protesters, but, you know, there could be a few bad seeds like there were in Seattle. By taking this kind of spin, which, of course, wasn't true for Seattle either, they are trying to provide an alibi ahead of time for anything
right.
that they might do.
And also,
we find that actually more alarming than the overt attempt to call us all terrorists, because people know that's ridiculous. So these
yeah.
things we find much more savvy and much more frightening.
And it instills fear in a large population like Philadelphia, I mean,
absolutely.
In the citizens of the
absolutely.
City.
And it makes our job harder, absolutely. But, you know, the media here have been very willing to cover us and to listen to us, and, you know, they're definitely a bit heavy on the whole protester versus police angle, and it's a struggle to get our actual message out. But other than that, I have to say the media have been pretty fair so far.
That's good news. I have one final question, and has the convergence of activists and demonstrators begun at this point?
Oh, yes. The convergence started this past Monday, July 24th, and if folks are on the Internet, they can go to a couple of websites that has totally comprehensive information, including exactly where to check in, where the convergence spaces are, where the trainings are, when they are, what they're about. It has everything. And if I could give you those website addresses.
Oh, please.
Okay. The Philadelphia Direct Action Group website is www.thepartysover.org, and that's just as if it's all one word, T-H-E-P-A-R-T-Y-S-O-V-E-R. And that has convergence information and a calendar and phone numbers for all different kinds of things like media, logistics, medical care. It has all the trainings on it. Then there's the R2K Network's overall website, which is www.r2kphilly.org, r2kphilly.org. That has, again, a really comprehensive calendar, even more comprehensive than the PDAG website, also the training stuff. It also has summaries of and web links to every group that is organizing for this convention, and it's a really great resource. So people can find everything they need at those two websites.
All right. Matt Rubin from the R2K Network, I want to thank you for your hard work and putting this incredible amount of work together for the Republican convention. And
thanks for helping us get the word out. And, we can't wait to join all of our comrades and colleagues who are streaming in as we speak, and we think it's going to be great.
All right. Good luck to you guys on Monday.
Okay, thank you.